Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Frank Bonner covers the Memphis football program for the Daily Memphian. He joins us now. You ain't covering the iShow Speed Stream, bro. You're not following him around downtown Memphis right now.
Hey, John, I'm surprised you still got me on the show today because I thought I was going to get pushed down for iShow Speed on the radio.
No. It's Frank Bonner over Show Speed all day, bro. We got you, man. Don't worry. He can't talk about Memphis football. You know,
well,
he can't break.
I got him on that.
Yeah. So, look, we'd love to have Speed on the show, but you know, he's got a lot of things going on. He's got a big itinerary. So we appreciate you being here. All right. Two games in, two wins, two covers. Not that that's the most important thing, but I think it does sort of speak to just the performance against the market. How do you feel about the Tigers?
I'll say, you point to the two covers. The first half, you don't really know much about the Chattanooga game, all right? You beat them 45-10, whatever. The first half against Georgia State does raise some questions about the ability to cover the middle of the field in the passing game. But then the second half, they did what they were supposed to do. So that's something I'm going to keep an eye on, is how do they continue to perform in the defensive secondary.
Has Brendan Lewis, who you've written about over at DailyMemphian.com, has he been better, worse, or about what you thought he would be in terms of through his first two performances, Frank?
To be honest, about what I thought he would be. We haven't really seen the offense be put in a situation where it's an obvious passing down and to have to force Memphis to, you know, go for a deep ball in that type of situation. And so I'm still waiting to see what it looks like when he's put in that moment. But we knew what he was as a runner. He's completing almost 80% of his passes, and so it's nothing extremely flashy in the passing game, but it's been enough for them to, like John said, cover the first 2 weeks. But I don't think he's been put in a situation to where he has to go and just make a play through the air yet.
You know, in terms of this Troy team, Memphis opened up as a 6.5-point favorite. The money has kind of come back towards Troy. You know, I think for them, you know, the story is that they just competed with Clemson, and led Clemson by a wide margin there at the half last game. What have you seen from them? Like, I know Memphis saw them last year and took care of business against them last year. Is there anything that's different about this Troy team? Are they better than a year ago? Like, just what's your understanding of this Troy team?
Well, you know, Crowder got hurt early in that game, right? And so obviously, him being healthy, changes it a little bit. But watching them against Clemson, I mean, that first half, the defense was kind of swarming to the ball a bit, right? I think this will be a nice test for the Memphis offense, especially with the run game. And, you know, that's kind of where they've kind of staked their claim so far as an offense. And so to see Troy kind of fly around against Clemson in that first half, I'm curious to see if they're able to hold that for an entire four quarters against a team like Memphis. And so that'll be interesting to see. That may create some interesting chess matches for Cramsey. He hasn't really needed to open the playbook against, Georgia State or Chattanooga. Against Troy, there may be some times where he might have to open the playbook a little bit. And honestly, I think you want to. Not to put too much on film against Arkansas, but you at least want your offense to have a game where they ran some plays that you may have had in your back pocket ahead of Arkansas.
What are the what's the hopes on them getting DeRozier back? Whether maybe not this week, maybe you get him another week, Frank. Or just what's been the word on Greg, who at one time was day to day after getting injured in that first one against Chattanooga? How soon could he be back, I guess, is the way to frame the question.
Yeah, right. From the sentiment that I'm getting, right, it's nothing that is supposedly going to keep him out for several weeks. But if you're wondering if he's going to be back against Troy, I can't say. But now, if he is able to play at least to get a couple snaps, now would be the time that you would hope to see him, mm-hmm. so that he can be. The first time you see him back is not, you don't want it to be against Arkansas.
I'm with you.
You want to have a game where he was at least able to get a handful of snaps before Arkansas, if he's ready to come back. But nobody in that program, the sentiment doesn't seem like it's a extreme long-term injury that's going to keep him out for half the season or anything like that.
Gotcha. By the way, just I'm watching this as it happens. Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson just pulled up on iShow Speed.
That's what he was waiting for.
At the forum, yeah. Frank, again, I mean, we get you down there. It's like the Mount Rushmore.
It's just time for you to pull up now, Frank. You're all that's missing over there.
Get Brendan Lewis down there. You know what I mean?
Silverfield, Brendan Lewis, somebody on the Memphis football. You know, let them get some of that iShow Speed residual eyeballs.
For real, like honestly, I know it's tough, but like it would have been a nice image if he would have stopped by the facility down there. You know, the practice facility.
Yeah. That'd have been huge.
Get him a tour of the renovations, man, at Simmons Bank. Yeah, right?
I mean, right. I mean, that's a call Ed Scott's got to make, right? Like, hey, you know.
It's tough. I've been trying to get all the I've been trying to break through the chat, man. It ain't easy to do. It ain't easy to get in there and, break through the chat. So I sympathize. By the way, how are the renovations going just generally? I haven't really been paying attention as much. How are we looking on the renovations?
I mean, everything seems to be on time. You know, last year they had the big hole. Now they've got the riser situation being built. And so, like, you continue to see the incremental success on the fundraising. The fundraising seems to be where they want it to be. So nothing to this point seems like it's off schedule for the 2026 season. And in fact, you know, Ed Scott mentioned that they were able to do some more things with, the lighting and things like that. And so it's going so well, apparently, that they've been able to add additions to the revenue, those small additions, that is a positive sign in the fact that it's going the way they want it to go.
Real quick, Frank, take me back to that. What was that setup like for Georgia State at formerly, Turner Field? And I think they call it Center Park Stadium. Just your thoughts on their setup and, I guess, what it could be. How funky was it?
Oh, man. How do I say it? Not great.
Mm.
not great. You know, there were some leaks, water leaks in the press box.
Oh boy.
Yeah, the post game situation, like Memphis did not have like a room or an area for the post game. We were just like out in the open field level where folks were moving stuff. Like it was
Yeesh.
Yeah, it was not the greatest situation. I'll say that.
Yikes. Tough scene, man.
So they got that from the city, and that's all Georgia State controls it now, and look like they don't put much into it is what it sounds like, Frank, if they got leaks and all that.
Yeah, right. Okay. Like I don't know what's on the horizon for, you know, that department in terms of they plan on fixing some things or whatever, but it was not the scene that I expected.
I got you.
When I was going into that.
We're talking to Frank Bonner from the Daily Memphian, covers Memphis football. 11 a.m. for Arkansas. I mean, was this kind of expected the whole way, would you say?
Yeah, I mean, I knew it wasn't going to be like a 6 o'clock game. I was, you know, hoping that maybe Memphis would have got the 2:30 game. Now, selfishly as a reporter, I would choose the 11 o'clock game over the 2:30 just from a logistical standpoint of me doing my job. But I think that even a 2:30 game would have been better than the 11 game for Memphis fans. And so that's what, you know, you this game wasn't going to necessarily get prime time, but I was hoping that it would at least be out of that 11 o'clock slot.
Frank, John and I were just talking about this. Is there a scenario still where the American Conference champion is not the Group of Five representative in the college football playoff? My point is, you know, Boise State's still got Notre Dame, and I know a lot of folks have crossed them off after the loss to South Florida. But I just wondered, Frank, throwing one at you, you know, that Navy team that doesn't have a lot out of conference, if it came back to win the conference and Boise had somehow bounced back and beaten Notre Dame, well, then maybe that's one. I just don't – and looking through, you know, Tulane doesn't play South Florida. Like, there's so many little intricacies in terms of, you know, who could come out on top in the AAC. I'm just curious, are there still paths you think where the American fumbles the ball and allows a Boise State to get in? Is that over if Boise State loses to Notre Dame? Just your thoughts on the American and its sort of handle on that spot.
Well, a lot has to happen, right, in order, at least in my opinion, for the American to kind of let go of that.
To lose
that
its grip.
Spot. But I do think that there is some beating up on each other that could happen. Like, for instance, South Florida doesn't play Tulane, but they play Memphis, UTSA, and Navy, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we know what's on Memphis's schedule. And so there is a world where South Florida does what it does, but then, you know, it drops the game to Memphis, maybe even the Navy, and some other team becomes at the top and they got a loss. You know, if it's Memphis, maybe Memphis has a loss to Tulane or whatever. And now all of a sudden you've got a champion that's on the same stratosphere. For instance, give you this, like, let's say Memphis loses to Arkansas, finds a way to win the conference. Mm-hmm. Boise wins the conference. I would still put Memphis above it, especially if Memphis beats South Florida because they have the South Florida loss. But there still is a world where chaos can happen to where the American could be on the outside looking in. But it's looking really strong for the American to win the league. But there is a scenario where that can happen. A lot has to happen for it to do that, though.
What's your belief level in that South Florida team? Say, let's just assume they come through Miami with at least Byron Brown, right, in most of their health. Are they on a different tier, Frank? I mean, obviously they're on the only team in college football that's got two ranked wins. Are they on a different tier than the Tulane and Memphis's, or is that, you know, what do you think about that South Florida team in the American? What's it going to look like if they've got Byron Brown?
I think you have to put them on a different tier, right? They've kind of proven it in those first two games. I know it's just after 2 weeks. There's still a lot of football to be played. But a healthy Byron Brown, and that's the question, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they're on a different tier right now, but it all hinges on the health of Byron Brown. And if you look, especially against that Boise State in that week one, the way he's finishing some of these runs, I mean, he's finishing them as like a running back in terms of the contact.
Yep.
You don't want him to do that too many times for what South Florida is hoping is a 13-14 game season. And so that's the main question mark for them. But if you take health out of it, South Florida is a team to beat, and I think, you know, everybody can see that.
See, and that's why I think, Frank, this is me, but winning the AAC now, far more important for South Florida than going hard to win this Miami game with what they've already done, right? See my point? I mean, if you go in and get banged up going against this top Miami team, come out of it, you can't even win the American, you've wasted the work that you've done. Seems like to me, if you're goalish, it's about getting through this and winning the AAC. Let's get through it healthy. You know, a win, yeah, great, but I ain't, you know, I'm not killing my guys. Does that make any, you should go if you're them? It feels like it.
I see your logic, right? Because they're basically, because they beat South Florida or because they beat Florida, they're playing with house money in
100%.
This Miami game.
Yes.
But we're saying this on the radio. How do you tell a locker room that?
I get it.
You know what I mean? Like, they're going out to play every game the same way. And so I agree with your logic. I just don't think that's realistic for that locker room to have that mindset.
Yeah. I don't know. It's kind of like the strength of the American has, you know, again, I'm not trying to like preeminently make excuses, but it seems like it will be harder to do now with Memphis to make the conference championship game. Like, it will be like South Florida, I don't think we thought would be where they are beating Florida. They might get killed by Miami when we come in here and say something different, but it just feels, the league feels more crowded than it did 3 weeks ago, in my opinion. And so I think we need to get comfortable with the idea that Memphis may not end up being in that conference championship game. And then we got to make sense of that. But it's just, does the crowding of the American change the temperature of that discussion to you?
It may change the expectation in how you view Memphis's ceiling, but I don't think it changes the temperature of the discussion in terms of what the goal is for Memphis, right? Because you should be in that conversation too. Now, South Florida is a team that people didn't think would do what they did, but the reality of it is the temperature is the same in getting to the conference championship. And I would ask you this though, John, like South Florida is what it is, but the rest of the conference, I mean, we saw Tulane beat Northwestern by 20 and then struggled against South Alabama. We saw Army have an up and down first 2 weeks. So outside of South Florida, the rest of the conference is kind of what you expected it to be, is it not?
Yeah, ish.
Tulane's got a chance to show us more, right, with Ole Miss?
Yeah. Yeah.
With their schedule, obviously. Got a chance to.
Right, but.
Go ahead.
But we expected Tulane to be up there. And so, like, I think the only monkey wrench, like, at least for me heading into this season, the only major monkey wrench for me is South Florida.
Mm-hmm. I see what you're saying.
Tulane to be the top anyway.
Yeah.
So Tulane isn't doing anything that I didn't expect them to do, you know, beating Northwestern. Now, I didn't expect them to struggle against South Alabama. But the point is, the only team that looks different than my expectation is South Florida.
Got it.
Monkey Wrench. Great Foo Fighter song, by the way, Frank.
I'll keep that note.
You ain't finna bump no Foo Fighters when we get done, bro?
Nah. I'm actually going to go on a run after this, so I got my workout playlist.
Don't want to be your Monkey Wrench. Come on, Frank.
I'll leave that to you, John. I'll leave that to you. You and Jason can go ahead and right. bump that on your radio commercial.
There we go. Yeah.
Hey, if it's 28-7 in the fourth quarter, you know, South Florida, Miami, I ain't putting Byron Brown back in. That's the way that looks. That's when you bench him and you take the loss and you go home. But you certainly ain't telling those players to go lose.
I just don't know if you can do that as a head coach. So I just think that I agree with you. I agree with you in the logic, but I think that's sending the wrong message if you're goalless.
I get it.
Hey, Frank, you're the best, man. Enjoy your run.
Right.
Thanks for
brother.
Joining us.
All right, thank you.
Yes, sir. Yeah. South Florida football. Absolutely love it. There was a time we used to do outro music beds. So this would be like an outro, you know, like
we no longer.
All right, we're gonna come back, you know. We'll come back with X, Y, and Z. You know, we don't do that anymore. Now it's just absolutely cold. But this would be a good outro, man. So anyway, while we were talking to Frank, yes, iShow Speed got caught up with Jaren and Ja Morant. They popped up I guess they were practicing maybe. They were at the facility and they made a cameo appearance on his streams.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.